with the Word of God, and thank you so much for coming, and trust that the Lord will richly bless you. And we trust above all things that He'll bless you with His salvation. Tomorrow night at Pitt Street at 7:30, I want to speak on a vital subject, using the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to take a part of Romans 7 and the first part of Romans 8. And let's pray that this may be a great night for us all. It's not a youth meeting. It's a Bible teaching meeting. And if you can possibly come, please do be there. Now shall we turn, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and we shall read from verse 39. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and reading from verse 39. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in a desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. And the Lord will bless to us that short but precious portion of his word. Just after the war, when I was in the Navy, I was in Karachi, now Pakistan, then North India. It was Sunday at 8:30 in the morning, and I was just going to a particular place to worship God, when I heard some people shouting, and I shall never forget this. And for the first time in my life, I saw lepers. They were let out that Sunday morning to beg. And I noticed men that had flattened faces. Some had no fingers. Some had no toes at all. And as I looked upon those poor men, my heart went out to them. And with that particular scene in my mind, I want to speak to you tonight about the remarkable cleansing of the leper. When we study our Bibles, we find this, that God, who is infinitely holy, is totally and absolutely opposed to every form of sin. And how glad we are that he is. Ladies and gentlemen, what a terrible thing it would be if I said tonight that God loved sin. God loved lying. God loved lust. God loved drunkenness. Even saying it hurts my spirit. And we know instinctively that would be wrong, otherwise he could not be God. And therefore, the more we read the Bible, the more we understand that God has a constant, an eternal controversy with sin. And therefore, in the scripture, you will find this, that there are many types of sin. For instance, palsy, paralysis, shows to us the weakness of the sinner. A man demon-possessed shows to us the lawlessness and the rebellion of sin. But leprosy in Scripture is always a graphic picture of the uncleanness of sin. And therefore I want to take up this story so that it might graphically describe not only the ugliness of sin, but the mighty power that Christ has to forgive people of their sins. Now, how shall I tell you the story? First of all, I want you to look at the leper. And I want you to look at this man carefully. Then secondly, I want you to look at his Lord. And please, observe him more carefully. And then I want you to see his new life. And what life this man received. First of all, the leper. Now, this probably will surprise you. Leprosy is the oldest disease in medical history. In fact, when we go back to the Bible, we find the first man to be diseased in Scripture was Moses. And when he put his hand in his garment and he brought it out as a sign that God was with him, it was leprous. When he put it back, it was perfectly clean. And that was the first incident in Scripture of disease. But when we look at the fact of sin, it goes beyond this earth. I read recently of a particular man that told us that sin only has its birth in this particular world. Now that is wrong. Sin finds its birth in heaven. In heaven. And the first being in the universe to sin was an angel. And his name was Lucifer. And he sought to be as God. In fact, he rebelled against God and tried to dethrone God. And one third of the whole of the angelic universe fell with him. And that was the mightiest fall in the universe. As far as the human family is concerned, sin finds its birth in the first man that God created. And when that man rebelled against God and took from God the reins of government and became his own master, he brought sin into the human family. And Paul describes the fall of man and the consequences as follows. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And do you know what that basically means? Every little baby that's born into this world is born with the potential to sin. Every child. And no matter what we might do with our children, no matter how much we may culture them, no matter how much we may educate them, nothing will stop that child from sinning. Why is it that we in the human family have this potential to sin? Because the first man sinned, and it's passed on from generation to generation. Secondly, and this may surprise some in the congregation, leprosy is a universal disease. In the Middle Ages, I have discovered that there were thousands of lepers in Europe. In fact, there are 5 places in Britain today that have historical leper camps. And there were many lepers in Britain in the medieval period. In fact, if you want to see a monument of the fact that people were lepers, if you go to the old country and go to a little village called Tickhill, there you will see a very beautifully kept leper camp that's almost 1,000 years old. And so you can see that leprosy basically is a universal disease, but not as universal a sin.
In my travels, wherever I have been, I have seen the presence of sin. I remember on one occasion being in one of the most primitive parts of the world, a place called Nachakanda. And the people were savages.
Yet they sinned.
Basically, they had not learned to make contact yet with the civilized world, and yet there, in Nachakanda, there was sin. If you go back to the old caveman that lived in Britain 3,000 years ago, that caveman practiced sin. He lost his temper, he told lies, and so on. If you look at the student at Oxford and Cambridge, or Harvard in America, or the student in Brisbane or Melbourne, although his environment is different, he still sins. The Bible is absolutely right when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A man who dares to claim to be exempt from sin is subject to insanity. We all know by the hard rub of life, we all know because of the nitty-gritty of life that we sin. And this is the world's great problem. And therefore, God does not say that we've all committed the same kinds of sins. He doesn't say we've sinned in the same manner or measure, but he does say that we've all sinned. But then I want you to note from the Word of God that this particular disease of leprosy is a subtle disease. Why? When it first appears on the flesh, it's white. It's deeper than the color of the skin, and an eastern skin was brown. And then as you looked at it, it had a kind of an attractive appearance until the burning started in it. And therefore, when it was first seen, it had airs of attractiveness. But it was deadly and cruel. Isn't that like sin? To the young teenager, how attractive is lust? How attractive. But when the act is made, how filthy it seems. And hundreds have experienced that. How attractive to a young child is stealing, and yet when it's done and he's caught, how awful. You see, there is something that the Bible calls the deceptiveness of sin, and yet it's more deceptive than what I have analyzed so far. We all know by real fact and by instinctive sense that our world's number one problem is sin. We know that. And yet there is something about sin that's so deceptive that we tell ourselves this. It's all Victorian that we're hearing today. This idea that you mustn't commit adultery, all Victorian. This idea that you mustn't steal, all Victorian. This idea, of course, that divorce is wrong, all Victorian. Let's get rid of it. And yet, as we say that, we know that that's utterly wrong. Friends, would you mind if I raise my voice? Sin is a killer! And it is now destroying the Western world. And could I say this with all the love that God can give me, because I love this country, it can totally destroy Australia. Those people who want to knock down the old absolutes and throw away the Ten Commandments, they will destroy your country. Sin is a killer, and don't put it back in the Victorian period. Then I want you to note the insensitivity of this disease called leprosy. If you had the neural form of leprosy, leprosy that attacks the nerves, you could actually take a pin, and if you had a leprous hand, you could plunge that pin right the way through your hand and you wouldn't feel it. The alarm system of the body goes when the nerves go, but more. If you had leprosy in your feet, you could actually put your foot in a fire that was burning intensely and you wouldn't feel a thing, and yet your feet or foot would be burning. You see, leprosy destroys the alarm system of the body. That's why it's so serious. Do you remember the first time you told a lie? Didn't it haunt you? Do you remember the first time ever in your life when you lusted? Didn't it worry you? Do you remember the first time you used bad language? How it hit you? But what happens? Now note this. Sin breaks down the alarm system of the conscience so that you can go on sinning and sinning and not worry about it. You see, just as leprosy destroys physically the alarm system of the body, sin hardens your heart and makes it like rock. And there is a phrase in the Bible that frightens me. I just tremble as I say it. It is this: because they would not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. And do you know what that means? There comes a time when God looks at a man or a community and says, right, you're determined not to have me at all. I'm going to let you off the lead. And he gives you up. And friends, you can lust, lie, murder, steal. You can even kill your loved ones and never have a conscience about it. You see, the mechanism has all been broken down. And that's happening. But more. There comes a time in a person's life when the Lord Jesus Christ comes right near to that person and he wants to save them. And if you switch off constantly, your heart can be so hard that the Lord can withdraw himself from you. And I had a shocking experience of this. I was once actually preaching in a public house in a place called Clonetley. Never forget this. And an old man, 87 years of age, about the same age of our esteemed brother that led the singing. And this particular man caught me on one side and he said this to me. Mr. Brandon, I was in this particular public house 1904. And at 1904 we were having the revival, and this is what he said. This place was packed with men from the tin mines. And all of a sudden every one of them left and went into that gospel hall there and got gloriously saved. Never touched me at all. Never felt it. And then he chuckled, and then he said this: when I was a child, I was touched, but somehow I turned it off, and it's never touched me since. Do you know what was wrong with that man? He had a hardened heart. And the poor man is in hell tonight. Don't be like that. The insensitivity of the disease. And then I want you to look at the vulgarity of the disease. First of all, I want you to note that the man here was full of leprosy. Now, that's a medical term, and Luke is using the term, and he is the doctor. And it simply means this, that he had the two forms of leprosy. He had a neural form that affected the blood supply, or affected the nerve supply, and he had the cutaneous form of leprosy that affected the blood supply. And I'm going to describe him. The whole of his body would be covered with ulceration. And that ulceration would be indescribable. The pus and the nauseating odour would almost defy description. And he would be semi-blind. His fingers were all missing. His toes had gone. He had the lion-like appearance. His cheeks had gone. His nose had almost gone. And his face was flat. His head was totally bald. All you could see was ulceration. As you look at that poor specimen of humanity, your heart goes out to him in love. But as you look at the disease, you say, what vulgarity. Beloved friends, if you could see the smallest lie as God sees a lie, you would see it like that. If you could see sin as God sees sin, you would see yourself as I saw myself, as a leper. From the top of the head right to the sole of the foot, covered in putrefying sores.
Ah, but you say, Brother Peter, where's your scripture for that?
I'll give it to you right now. Isaiah was one of the finest men in human history.
He was an outstanding moralist. He was a great poet. He was an exceptionally good thinker. And in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. And when he caught a glimpse of the holiness and the glory and the majesty of the Lord as he sat upon the throne of the Eternal,
he fell to the earth and he said this, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." And you know what that means? I'm a leper. I want to talk to him in your presence.
Isaiah, but you are the noblest among men.
I've seen the Lord and I've seen myself in the presence of the Lord and I'm just a leper. Dear friends, have you seen yourself like that?
I trust tonight as we are brought into the presence of the Lord,
we shall begin to see ourselves as inwardly unclean. The vulgarity of sin.
And then I want you to think of the separation of the disease. When a man was a leper, according to Leviticus 14, he had to put his finger over his upper lip, and rightly so, and he had to cry, "Unclean!"
And that's what they did at Karachi. And it broke my heart. I can see those poor men now, hobbling down those dusty roads. I can hear their voices now. They were saying it, of course, in their own language, but they were calling out, "Unclean!" And there was no one to help. No one to throw a piece of bread. And this man was like that.
Unclean! Why? Immediately a man was a leper, if that leprosy came into contact with people that had whole flesh, there was the danger of contagion. And therefore they were isolated, as we isolate some people with diseases, such as a man with smallpox. They isolated a leper. And therefore he kept away from civilization, and he just cried out, "Unclean." And this shows to us the separation that the disease caused. But remember this. The Bible teaches, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, dear friends, I find this very hard to put this over to a congregation. I do not find it easy to preach on hell. Now, I'm going to be frank with you. I wish in one way it was never in the Bible. But it is there. And I must be honest with the scriptures. I can never preach hell with a vindictive voice. Every time I preach it, it breaks my heart. But can I tell you this in love? Already, because God is holy and we are unclean because of sin, we are separated from God. Already. And this is the flashpoint. If you die in that unclean state, you are eternally separated from God. And you know what that means? That beautiful soul of yours that has been contaminated now by sin will have the potential to live in sin forever. And that's why hell is called outer darkness. That's what Jesus meant when he said, you shall die in your sins. It meant you will continue with that propensity to sin, only under the judgment of God. Dear friends, there's only one thing in life that really matters. And that is that you get forgiven and cleansed. And could I now ask you a question as God's servant? Have you been to the Lord Jesus for cleansing? Or are you still in your sins? Now look, friends, you mustn't leave this building, and I'm pleading with you tonight, you mustn't leave this building until you are cleansed from your sins. Now I want you to look at this leper and his approach to the Lord Jesus. Now note this. Matthew tells us that he came and worshipped. Now that is absolutely staggering. Here is a man whose body is totally mutilated. And as I say it, I feel for this man tonight, having seen lepers. And as I see this poor crippled, this poor broken body coming to the Lord Jesus, Matthew tells us this remarkable thing. He came and worshipped. You see, he's almost blind. He's hobbling to the Master. And as he gets a glimpse of the Master, he sees two things. Through those poor dimmed eyes he could see the utter perfection and the exquisite beauty of Christ. And then in that perfect life, in that perfect form, he could see the magnificence of the divinity of Christ. And he worshipped. You know, dear friends, I believe that's one of the most beautiful pictures in the scripture. Here is vulgarity. Here is the crudeness of a physical disease. And here is exquisite beauty. And the man worships. But then Mark tells us something that's very beautiful. The man came beseeching and kneeling. I say he could hardly kneel, he could hardly bend his legs. And yet when he caught a glimpse of the Lord Jesus, he must have said something like this, "It's paining me, Lord, but I'm going to do it. I'm bending my knees, it's hurting me, but I'm going to do it. And as I bend my knees, as I bend this broken body, I want you to know I'm submitting myself completely to you." That's lordship. man that bent his knees and bent everything and was saying, Lord, I want to come under your lordship. I want you to control me. But Luke tells us something different. He says when he came, he not only worshipped and bent his knees, he fell flat before the Lord. Do you know why? He saw the beauty and the loveliness of Christ. He saw his sovereignty and kingship. And in the presence of that glory, he said, oh dear, how vile and filthy and dirty I am. And he fell before him in prostration. That's how to come to the Lord. Dear friends, the moment we feel our sin and our inward uncleanness, and the moment we come to him just like that publican did, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he heals us immediately. And now I want you to note his appeal. I think this is beautiful. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now that's remarkable. Every 3 months he would go to the Hebrew priest and he would present himself and the man would look at him and he would pronounce him unclean. Every 3 months he did that. And every 3 months the priest would look at him as he saw that ulcerated body, and the priest would say, well, Marcus, you're certainly dying. And you could see that man going away from the priest disappointed. Sometimes he would turn round and he would say, well, your prayers don't seem to do much. They've never healed me. Now this man that we have called Marcus is totally bent and broken and beyond repair. And he comes to Jesus and he says this, Lord, I'm not judging your ability. I know you can. I know all things are possible. But I'm judging your will. If thou wilt, thou canst make me absolutely clean. I want to ask now some questions. Is it the will of God for people to continue in their sins? Is it the will of God that we should continually practice sin? Is it the will of God that men should be unforgiven? Is it the will of God that men should be in hell? Is it? Do you know what the scripture says? He willeth not the death of any, but that all should come to repentance. Who is a pardoning God like unto thee that passeth by the transgression of the inheritance? You see, the God that I present tonight is a loving God who longs to forgive. Forgive me saying this, friends, but he doesn't want one man in Bundaberg to perish. Not one. The heart of God goes out to every mankind in this place. But you see, the people won't come. That's the problem. Can you hear this pathetic call? If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And now I want you to note his approval. The Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. I should love to have been there. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the great Creator must have been moved with tears. But note, he didn't love his leprosy. He didn't love those toeless, fingerless bodies, feet and hands. He didn't love his lion-like appearance. He didn't love all the ulcerations. He didn't love the mutilated body. Friends, he hated that.
But he loved him. Loved him. Friends, do grip this. He loves you, but hates your sin. Can I say that again? He loves you, but hates your sin.
And then after showing to us the store of love that was in his heart, we read he put forth his hand and touched him. Now stop.
That was the first hand that touched him for 25 years. The moment leprosy was on him, no one would touch him. And probably this was forming for 25 years. But the idea of the word touch there is misfortunate. Mr. Darby renders it, he touched him freely. And do you know what that means? The Saviour took those mighty hands, and I love this picture, and he run them all over that festering body and touched him. What was he doing, you say? He was being identified with him.
Identified with leprosy.
Yeah. You see, dear friends, there couldn't be one sin put away until he became so identified with our sins that on the cross he was made sin.
And if I want to see Jesus touching the human race, I look at Calvary. When I see him hanging upon that center cross and crying out in the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
I realize that's when he was touching the human race, when all our sins and all its judgment fell on him. And would you now mind if I pointed? Would you allow me to do that? He was wounded for your transgression. Bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you can be healed. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. What a Saviour. That's where he touched us.
And when he said, "It is finished," the great work was done. The mighty sacrifice was made, and praise God, we can say tonight that we hear the words of love, we gaze upon the blood, we see the mighty sacrifice, and we have peace with God. But more, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. And if you look at that cross and you see the place where the Lord Jesus put away our sins, you can see, although sin is like a mountain, Calvary towers above it. And then having touched the man, he said this, "I will."
Now, can you see what's happening? Listen to his appeal.
"If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean."
Now listen to God speaking through the Son.
"I will."
Can you see?
"If thou wilt." So God responds, "I will."
My dear friend, tonight I wish I could speak to you as though God would speak to you. But all I want to say tonight is this, that he longs to forgive you, longs to save you, longs to write your name in the book of life, longs to deliver you from the power of sin, and longs to do it now. "I will." Then notice the authority of this statement. "I will, be thou clean." The word means immediately clean. Now, note the miracle of it.
Probably the disease was 25 years immaturing. The man was at the point of death. He had 25 years of agony, 25 years of sorrow, 25 years of misunderstanding.
And then, in a flash of a second, the Lord Jesus says, "I will, be thou immediately clean." Hearer, you may be 15. That means 15 years in sin. You may be 75. That means 75 years in sin. But the Lord can immediately forgive you. And he can do it now because of the mighty sacrifice. But more.
If you look at this in the Greek, it means not only I will be thou clean, it means I will be thou cleansed and cured.
Cured? What do you mean?
This man had lost all his fingers. He had lost all his toes. He had had the lion-like appearance. His body was mutilated. Therefore, if he's cleansed, he's still got a deformed body. But the force of the word means this. You must forgive my excitement. But Jesus was saying this. Not only be cleansed, but be healed.
It moves me, friend. The fingers came back. The toes came back. The features came back. He looked a beautiful young man. You say, can God do that today? He can do something better. Do you know what he can do in your heart? Now note this. He can cleanse all your sins through the precious blood of Christ. He can put the Holy Spirit in your body. And you can become a new creature. Thank you. Have you been made a new creature? Amen. Praise God, isn't that lovely? And here are four young men that God recently has made completely new, and he can do it with you tonight. Do you see the power of this?
I will be thou cleansed, be thou cured.
And then the miracle started.
Immediately,
he was cleansed. And you know, dear friends, when those four young men knelt down and God was there, they were full of sin. They had blundered in their lives. But when they knelt down and asked the Lord Jesus to cleanse them through the precious blood, and when they invited the Lord to come in as Lord, he not only took all their sins away, but gave them the power of the Holy Spirit. And immediately they were made clean. And that's why they're here tonight rejoicing in the Lord. And he did that with me, and he did that with all my brothers.
And then he told him a very difficult thing. He says, see that thou tell no man, but go and show yourself to the priest. And not only show yourself to the priest, but offer for thy cleansing those things that Moses commanded as a testimony against them. Now why do you think he told them, or told him, to tell no man, but go and show?
Well, of course he didn't have to speak. If a man's been cleansed from leprosy and he's perfectly cured, you don't have to speak, do you? Let me put it to you like this. If that hand was all withered and broken and someone healed it, I wouldn't have to speak, I'd just do that. If my body was all leprous and then it was cured and made whole, I wouldn't have to speak, I wouldn't have to give a testimony, I'd just stand up and show. And that's Christianity.
Our testimony does not come from our lips, but from our lives. And my dear friends, we can argue about Christianity, but you can't argue about a changed life. And this man's life was changed, and hallelujah,
he's changing hundreds of people. And you know, I'm going to imagine him going to that old priest, and he stands before the old priest. And he says, who are you? Have a guess. Oh, I suppose some presumptuous young man. Have a guess who I am.
Well, I couldn't guess.
I'm Marcus.
Marcus Benjamin? Impossible.
I'm Marcus.
Marcus Benjamin the leper?
Yes. And the moment he realized that it was Marcus Benjamin the leper, he knew a divine touch had been on him. He knew the devil couldn't do it. He knew it was a sign that the man that did that was the Son of God. And what a witness it was to the priest.
But this man couldn't keep quiet. They kept on asking him, and at last he exploded, and he blazed it all abroad.
Oh, if you get saved tonight, do that. Go out there and blaze it abroad. Tell your friends, and one man gloriously saved can move a community. You say, what's the secret then of the story? The two wills. If thou wilt, Jesus said, I will. If thou wilt, Jesus said, I will. You know, dear friends, one of the most wonderful moments in my life outside of my conversion was the day I was married. And when my dear Gwen stood by my side, and what a lovely partner she's been. And I quietly and deliberately said, I will, and she said, I will to me. We were married. And thank God for that marriage. In this room tonight, and I want to say this in prayer, the Holy Spirit is introducing you to the Lord Jesus. And he's saying to two or three of you, perhaps more, will you accept Christ as your Savior and Lord? Who's going to say, I will. I'll trust him now. Who's going to do that now? Let's pray. As we are bowed in the presence of God, those who are going to come to the Lord Jesus, would you come to him quietly now with your sin? Don't hide it. If you have seen tonight the deadly seriousness of sin, the awfulness of it, the vulgarity of it. If you have seen tonight the loathsomeness of sin, even the smallest sin, and it's all against God, it caused the death of his beloved Son, then come as a poor sinner to the Lord, just like this leper did, and in heart fall before him, and cry out tonight, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because of the death of Christ, and friends, how much God loves you, it's beyond telling. God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Dear friends, God's love for you is so great that Jesus Christ died upon a cross for your sins, bore the judgment for your sin, so that God could righteously put away your sin once and forever. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the cleansing that we need. Now get your eye, if you can, from your sin. Get your eye on that mighty sacrifice that he bore on the cross fix that eye of faith on that risen Saviour and hear him saying now to you, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And call upon him right now like the leper did. Cry out, Lord, save me now. Forgive me. Pray your own prayer. Pray it in faith. And hear an answer. And you'll leave this place clean tonight. Shall we spend just a few moments in quiet prayer as we wait before God? Would every Christian pray that a real work may be done in many hearts tonight? Shall we pray? Jesus. Amen. Can we sing that lovely hymn, number 33? Number 33, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come, into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus I come to thee. And let's really sing this from our hearts, and if you're coming, make this a real prayer. Now, it's 1:45. And I do not want to keep the meeting too long tonight. Let's sing the first and the last verses of number 33. Could we sing? Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come, into thy freedom, gladness and light. Jesus I come to thee, out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, and into thy wealth. Out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. We close with the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be now with every believing spirit, until that glorious moment shall come when the shadows shall flee away, and we with all the redeemed host shall see the Saviour face to face. In the glory, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.